This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just as He has gathered us here today on this day of Jumu'ah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us along with our families in Jannatul Firdaws al-A'la in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, the title of this khutbah is One Thing That Can Make You or One Thing That Can Break You. And in my observation, based on all the years of my professionalism, the countless hours behind counseling people, listening to people's issues and so forth, I really have concluded that this one thing today that I'm going to be talking about in my khutbah can really either make a person in this dunya or the akhirah, or it can break a person in this dunya and the akhirah. And that one thing is good company. If you are around people that are considered as righteous, noble, upright, then you will succeed in this dunya and in the akhirah. And if you are around people who are not in the, who don't have the best interest for you, who don't care for you, who don't respect you, and who don't care about your religion, these are people who have been surrounded, they surround themselves with other corrupt people in terms of their faith and spirituality, then this will break your dunya and most certainly it will break your akhirah. There's a saying in English that good company is like a garden. How often, when you look at a garden is a place where people, they go into a garden and they find some kind of serenity. They find some kind of peace. How often do you go and you find a very beautiful place, greenery, mountains, and you sit there and you forget about the entire dunya and you just absorb the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the saying is that good company is like a garden for the soul, that it will protect you, it will nurture you, and it will purify you. Brothers and sisters, this is what you and I, we need to focus on. And this is not a topic that is related only to our children. Yes, as parents, we need to be very careful. We need to be very mindful of who our kids are socializing with. But this also goes for us as mothers and fathers, and even the youth in this congregation. First of all, is that there are four things today, inshallah, I want to share in my khutbah, that there are four benefits of keeping the righteous company. The first benefit that we find in the Quran is that when you are around the right people, it will strengthen your iman. And this is found in Surah Al-Kahf. Surah Al-Kahf has four main stories. The very first story that we find is about young men. And this story tells us that just like the young men at that time, they had to go through certain measures, drastic measures, in order to protect their iman and their faith. And just like their iman and their faith was put to test, likewise, even young people today, you are of no exception, my young brothers and sisters. Your iman will also be put to test. But the beauty about Surah Al-Kahf is that when Allah talks about each fitna that does occur, Allah talks about that how can we protect ourselves from that fitna. The first story is about those young men who sought refuge in a cave to protect their faith. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say at the end of that story? He says, and he gives his advice to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Wasbir nafsaka ma'al ladhina yad'una rabbahum bil-ghadati wal-'ashiyyi yuriduna wajha wa la ta'du 'aynaka 'anhum turidu zinata al-hayati ad-dunya wa la tuti' man aghfalna qalbahu 'an dhikrina wattaba'a hawahu wa kana amruhu furuta." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, if you want to protect your faith, then you be around those kind of people who remember Allah bil ghadati wal ashi, They remember Allah in the morning and in the evening. And all that they want from Allah is what? يُرِيدُونَ وَجَهَا. They always are seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even tells the Prophet alayhi salam that who you should not be around. وَلَا تُطِعْ. Do not follow those people. Which people? مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. Those people whose hearts are heedless from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who else should you not follow? وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. These are the kind of people who follow their desires. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah, in this story, that if you want to protect your faith and your iman, then make sure you are around those kind of people who is considered as good company. People who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who put their spirituality at the forefront in all their affairs, and they do not follow their desires. This is what the Quran is telling us, and this is the first benefit of staying in the company of the righteous people. There's another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we find. A very beautiful hadith that you and I, we have heard. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the example of a good companion and a bad companion is like that of a seller of musk and a blacksmith. Meaning that no matter if you are in the store of a perfume seller, then of course when you walk out, even if you don't even apply perfume, you're going to walk away and your clothes are going to be smelling very promising. It's going to be smelling very good. Likewise, if you go into a place where there is something that is going on, imagine, we don't understand the concept of a blacksmith, but to give you an example that you can understand and we all can understand, imagine going into a waste management facility. Imagine going into a waste management facility. Even if you don't touch the garbage, you don't touch anything over there, the fact that you were in that environment makes an impact on you. Likewise, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, even if you sit in the company of a good person, even if you don't apply anything, just the fact that you sat there, this will increase your iman. You will become a better person. So this is the very first benefit of being around good people and being in the company of righteous people. The second benefit of being in the company of righteous people is that it will protect you from committing sins. If a person is in the company of righteous people, it will protect them from sins. If a person is in the company of evil people, corrupt people, then this will also wear off on them, and they will incline them. They will pull them towards the sinning, towards sinning and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a very beautiful ayah in the Quran that we find about this same topic. Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah reminds us of the Day of Judgment. He says, وَيَوْمَ. Remember that day, the Day of Judgment. يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. That the oppressor, the ظَالِم, he will be chewing on his hand. And it doesn't mean just chewing on this hand. Because when the Quran uses the word yadun, it means the entire hand. Meaning that they will be chewing on their arm and in their hands. And by the way, if you see any person chewing on their hand, it is a sign that they are extremely worried and overwhelmed with something. They cannot even think that they are chewing on their hand. Allah is saying that this person, this zalim, on the Day of Judgment will be chewing their hand, and they'll be saying what? يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. In the Arabic language, by the way, the word layta means, layta in la'alla means I wish something were to happen. But the difference between layta in la'alla in the Arabic language is that layta is wishing for something that can never ever happen. This is why there are examples in the books of Arabic grammar when they talk about the word layta, and they give a very beautiful example. They say, layta shababa ya'uda yawman. I wish young age would come back to me. It's impossible. It can never happen. So these kind of people, they are wishing. Ya laytani ittakhadtu ma'a ar-rasul sabila. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulan khalila. I wish I was not around these kind of people. I wish I would have made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam my friend. I wish I would have not made those kind of people my friends, because of the fact that these people made such and such people their friends, and they were inclined towards them, and they fell into their words and their traps. Then these kind of people, they will regret about this on the Day of Judgment. And at that time, they will regret and they will wish and wish. But once again, nothing will come into existence. No matter how many times they wish, it will be of no avail. And this ayah, these ayat were actually revealed because there was an incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a person in the community of the Prophet alayhi salam. His name was Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayt. He had a practice. He was a very well-off man. He had a practice that whenever he would go out of town for an extensive period of time, whenever he would come back in town, he would invite everyone in Mecca, and he would invite the elite of Mecca. So one time he came back from a journey, he invited the elite of Mecca, and one of the people he invited was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a Muslim, of course he's calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are people who are mushrik. But the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes from Banu Hashim, he comes from a very well-respected family, Uqba ibn Mu'ayt, he invited him. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was served the food, when he was served, at that time, He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to Uqbah that I will not touch your food. I will not consume your food till you don't take the shahada, till you don't become a Muslim. So Uqbah, as being a host, and once again, within the Arabs, hospitality is, even till today, subhanAllah, amongst the Arabs, hospitality is second nature to them. So the thing is that Uqbah, as being a host, and the Prophet alayhi wasallam being a guest, he says, yeah, no problem. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Later on, Ubay ibn Khalaf, another enemy of Islam, an adversary of Islam, he found out. And he began to taunt him. He began to taunt Uqbah ibn Mu'ayt that what led you? We heard that you have become a Muslim. What led you to become a Muslim? And he says, listen, it's not a big deal. I was serving Rasulullah sallam. I am the host. He is the guest. Whatever the guest wants, the host will do for them. He wanted me to take the shahada. I just took it. And it's not a big deal. Ubay ibn Khalaf said, if this is not a big deal, then you will go right now to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will spit on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you will denounce your Islam immediately. Now once again, who is encouraging him to do this? Ubay ibn Khalaf. And the fact that Ubay ibn Khalaf did this, this is no different than what happens today also within many people. How often a person wants to do what is right, but the other, the people, his friends, her friends, who want them to do the wrong thing, they will say, come on, come on, aren't you part of our group? Aren't you part of us? This is how we roll. This is how we do things. Come on, you don't have to be a really pious person. Come on, you can make tawbah later on. You can make istighfar later on. You're young right now. Come on, right now we're all having fun. Today, so many of our young brothers and sisters, they refer to haram activity as fun and the halal as not fun. No, come, be part of us. Let's have fun. Today, inshallah, we'll do this. Tomorrow, inshallah, you can make tawbah and so forth. And not only that, but when a person says, no, I want to do what is right, oh, just keep him aside. Next time, we're never going to invite you. Man, you are a party pooper. You are this and you are that. They give all these kind of titles. So what happens is that the person, he feels compelled that I don't have so many friends. Let me go and let me be with them. And even if I do something that is wrong, we'll talk about it later on. We'll see this later on. And they fall into that kind of trap. Think about this. When a person falls into that kind of trap, and then you see the consequences of that same action that we did on the Day of Judgment. Once again, this will be the same response at that time. I wish I had not taken that person as my friend. I wish I had not followed the footsteps of my friends. Brothers and sisters, when you have friends who are trying to lead you to misguidance, who are trying to lead you to sin, that is not a friend. That is someone who's looking after their interests. Those people, it could be adults, it could be young people, but anyone who's giving you the wrong advice, then what they want is they want to feel justified. They want to feel good that it's not only me who's committing the sin. I have other friends. I have other people who are committing the sin with me. And this is what they do, is that they guilt trip you into doing these kind of things. So this is why we learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learn from the Quran. And what did this person say? Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. This word khalil has also been used in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalilihi, falyanzur man yukhalil." A person is on the deen, the lifestyle of their friends. If you want to see who they are, just simply look at their friends and you will figure out exactly what kind of a person they are. So this is something that we learn. Another advantage of being in the company of the righteous people is that they will protect you from sin and misguidance. The third benefit of being in the company of right people and the righteous people is that you will be able to develop positive habits. Today, we all want our kids to develop positive habits. What kind of a positive habits am I referring to? I'm talking about being productive in life. We want to see our kids build up good habits. We want to see our kids not wasting time, but rather be productive. We want to see our kids and our youth being organized in their life. We want them to make smart decisions. We want them to have the ability to create a balance in all aspects of their life. How is that going to happen? The only way this can happen is if we go and we are in the company of those kind of people who have these kind of values in their life. If your child or you as a person, if you are around a person who's never organized, you're not going to be organizing your life. Even when you see children, subhanAllah, even children, if their parents are organized in their life, for the most part, they are going to be organized. If the parents are not organized in their life, then you will see the same thing within the children. If the parents know how to make calculated decisions in their life, and they are very thought-provoking, they think through every single decision, you'll see the kids doing the same thing. Why? Because they were in the company of their parents. Brothers and sisters, the only way our kids, the only way our youth, and the only way we as adults can build good habits is in when we are in the company of those kind of people who preach and teach and apply those same kind of values. We want our kids to have positive values, but we're letting them be around other people who don't have these values. Where are those values going to come from? So the third benefit of being around the right people is that you will always build up positive habits. And the fourth benefit of being around righteous people and good people, people who have akhlaq and character, is that these people will become a support in the times of difficulty and in the times of hardship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says, وَالْعَصَرْ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ فِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبَرِ. Allah subhanahu is telling us that these people who have iman, what is their sign? What is their sign? That they do righteous deeds. And they encourage each other to do what is right. And when there are difficult times, then they will encourage each other to do sabr. Who is a good friend in this day and age? The good friend is not the person who always comes to you when they need something from you. The good friends are those people that when you are in the most difficult times of your life and you call them, they will come to you and your aid. Often we see that people, they call you so many times and they want you to drop everything that you're doing for their support. But whenever you need help from them, they're not there for you at all. And even though they're not, now once again, if the situation is that they are engaged with something that is absolutely dire, you have to give them a free pass. But if there is nothing dire in their life and they just are not coming to your aid when you need them the most, that is not the sign of a sincere friend. That is not the sign of a good friend. Because the benefit of a good friend, a righteous friend, is that they are always there to support you when you need them. This is what we learn from the Prophet. This is what we learn from the Quran. We also learn from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, the believer to another believer is like a building whose levels they support each other. The different parts, they support each other. Each layer of a building, they support one another. Likewise, we for each other are in a position that we need to support each other. Whatever we're doing, if we can drop it and help each other out. This is what we learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were so many instances in the life of the Prophet alaihi wasallam where he sallallahu alaihi wasallam needed help. He needed support and aid. And there were people who came to him looking for his support and his aid. And he never said anything such as, bro, I'm going through my own issues. You go and find someone else who can help you. That's never the case of the Prophet ﷺ. No matter what was his situation, he was always there to help other people out. So this is what we need to learn. And subhanAllah, no better example than the Muhajirun and the Ansar. SubhanAllah, when the Muhajirun came to Medina, how did the Ansar come forward? They never said that, you know what, we're going to mistreat you. You are in, you know, you are people who are foreigners in our land and so forth. No. They were the Muhajir and the Ansar. They supported each other. So the fourth sign of a good friend is that they are always going to be there to provide emotional support in the times of difficulty. So these are four things, four benefits that if we have righteous people, good company. Because I could have talked about the importance of having a good friend, but we are always incentive driven. We always want to know, what do I get if I have a good friend? What happens? What are the consequences if I have bad friends? So this is why today in this khutbah, I not talk about the importance of having good company. I wanted to talk about what are the benefits of being in the company of the righteous. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to always make the right decisions in our life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to find true friends in our life who will support us in our difficult matters of our life. And not only that, to be there as a support, as a general support. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fi Qur'an azeem. Wa nafa'ana wa iyyakum la tiwadzikil hakeem. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Wa lisa'il muslimina fastaghfiru. Innahu huwa al-ghafur rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. So as I said, there's four things, four benefits of having or being in the company of the righteous. Number one is it strengthens our iman. Number two, it protects us from sins and misguidance. Number three, it builds positive habits, good and noble habits in our lives. And number four is that it provides as a spiritual and emotional support when we need so. Right now, inshallah, in this khutbah, I will finish on a very beautiful dua that if you can, you can come back to this khutbah later on and just find this dua, but try to memorize this dua. A dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeking refuge from five things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from an evil neighbor, number one. Number two, wa min zawjin tushayyibuni qabla al-mashib. And from a spouse that will cause me to grow old before old age comes. Number three, وَمِنْ وَلَدٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ رِبًّا. And from a child who will become a master over me. Number four, وَمِنْ مَالٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ عَذَابًا. And from wealth that will become a source of punishment for me in this dunya and the akhirah. And number five, وَمِنْ خَلِيلٍ مَاكِرٍ عَيْنَاهُ تَرَيَانِي وَقَلْبُهُ تَرْعَانِي إِنْ رَأَى حَسَنَةً دَفَنَهَا وَإِنْ رَأَى سَيِّئَةً أَذَاعَهَا. This is the fifth dua the Prophet ﷺ is seeking refuge from. He's seeking refuge from a deceptive and cunning friend whose gaze is upon me and who appears to me as a good friend, but their hearts are plotting and planning against me. This is a dua that the Prophet ﷺ is seeking refuge from these kind of friends. And such type of friends that if they see something good in me, they will bury it. And if they see something bad in me, then they will spread it amongst others. These are five things Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeking refuge from. My recommendation is that you memorize this dua and make this dua every single day. What a very beautiful dua, a very comprehensive dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from these five things. Ameen rabbil alameen. Barakallahu Allahumma ansur Islam wal muslimin. Allahumma ansur Islam wal muslimin fi kulli makan. Allahumma ansurna ala man khalafana wahfaz biladana wa aslih awladana washfi mardana wa afi mubtalana warham mautana wa khudh bi aydina إلى كل خير، وعصمنا من كل شر، واحفظنا من كل ضير. اللهم قسمنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن يقين ما تهون علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحيتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا إلى النار مصيرنا، ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا، وعملا متقبلا، ورزقا واسعا، وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع، ومن قلب لا يخشع، ومن نفس لا تشبع، ومن دعاء لا يستجاب. آمين رب العالمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم، واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. أقم الصلاة. Straight lines from the gaps. Please make sure you come inside the main hall. Sisters, please make sure that all the sisters in the multipurpose hall area, please come inside the main hall. Sisters in the main hall, in the side rooms, please make sure the rows are straight. Brothers, please make sure the rows are straight. Brothers in the back two rooms, please make sure you come inside. There's still ample amount of space inside the main hall. Brothers in the multipurpose hall, please come inside. There's still space here. And brothers in standing in the lobby area, please make sure the rows are straight. Brothers in the back two rooms, please make sure the rows are complete.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله سوس وكم صدر خلل الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم تسلم عليك
الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يئوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم.